Israel, in ancient times, created a society predicated on education and universal access to knowledge. This is why Jews can be called, standing before Sinai, a nation of royal priests, because the Torah that they were given at that sacred site was not only for learning, but for teaching. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah Episode 9, Learning, Teaching, and the Minister for Defense. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In 1971, an event was held at a Jewish community center in London. Attending this gathering was a member of parliament for the constituency of Finchley, a woman who was at the time a little-known political figure by the name of Margaret Thatcher. She was, in that government, the Minister for Education, serving under Prime Minister Ted Heath. Welcoming her to the event was the British Chief Rabbi, Emmanuel Jacobovitz. As I recall the tale, Chief Rabbi Jacobovitz informed Thatcher that even though her title was Minister for Education, she was in fact Minister for Defense. This may have struck her as surprising because that was an entirely different position. In explanation, Rabbi Jacobovitz pointed to the mezuzah that adorned the Jewish Community Center, a case containing a sacred scroll that is seen as a sign of God's protection on a Jewish edifice or domicile. Rabbi Jacobovitz explained that one of the central verses in the scroll contains the phrase Vishinantam Livanecha, Vishinantam meaning teaching, obligating Jews to ensure that the next generation is taught. The Chief Rabbi therefore explained that to be a minister for education is to be a minister for defense, a minister for the protection of the future of society. We bear this in mind as we ponder the fascinating fact that even though what is known as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, learning Torah, studying Torah, is often described as an experience in the form of an individual engaging in examination of a sacred text, the fact is that in the Torah itself, the obligation of Torah study appears primarily in the form of teaching. In Maimonides' listing of the mitzvot, the obligation to learn Torah is derived first and foremost, from the very same phrase that Rabbi Jacobovitz pointed out to Thatcher, the obligation to teach the next generation. And what this means is that for Judaism, learning and teaching, study and education have always been intertwined. The mitzvah of Torah study can only be fully understood if we comprehend how central educating the next generation is for Judaism. In an interesting essay, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks ponders the phrase applied to Israel right before the giving of the Torah. You shall be, God announces, an Am Mamlechet Kohanim, a nation of royal priests. Rabbi Sacks explains this by noting that in ancient societies, literacy was by and large restricted to the priesthood. As he writes, quote, the word hieroglyphic means priestly script. To this day, the word clerical in English has a double meaning, both related to the clergy and pertaining to the scribe, which is a relic of the Middle Ages, when ministers of religion held a near monopoly on education. This link between literacy and clerical status can be found in a medieval phenomenon known as miserere. I cite the website historyofeducation.net, which tells us that because clergy were able to demand the right to be tried in courts of an ecclesiastical nature, therefore they were able to excuse themselves from regular courts by proving that they were priests. But how to do so? Quote, at first, this involved appearing in court in tonsure and a clerical dress at a time when fancy dress was not an affordable option for many. From the 14th century, however, this began to be superseded by a reading test, specifically a test of the ability to read Latin, which was the mark of an educated person at this time. Since medieval education's purpose was to prepare young men for a life in the church, this meant teaching them Latin, the language of scripture. Access to this type of education was tightly restricted. There were only a few hundred grammar schools in England, and any new ones required a license from a bishop. The vocational aspect was taken seriously, and parents could be fined for sending children to school without permission. In a largely illiterate society, the upshot was that if you could read Latin, then you were deemed to be in clerical orders and could claim the benefits due to you. Teaching prisoners to read so that they could pass the test was an offense, and in 1383, the vicar of Round Church in Canterbury was tried for instructing the unlearned William Gore for that reason. The reading test was used for several centuries, became part of English common law, and even survived the Reformation. End quote. And the website tells us that what was often used for the reading test was the first verse of the 51st Psalm, which began in Latin, Miserere mei Deus secundem misericordiam tuam, This is the test. Literacy proved you are from the priesthood. In contrast, Rabbi Sacks argues, Israel in ancient times created, quote, a society predicated on education and universal access to knowledge. This is why, he argues, Jews can be called, standing before Sinai, a nation of royal priests, because the Torah that they were given at that sacred site was not only for learning, but for teaching. Education would be at the heart of Jewish learning forever. But to this more must be added. Learning as education is not only the essence of a society's defense, it is also an essential form of faith. Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik has noted that we find, in Tanakh, a link between the verb for raising a child and the Hebrew word for faith. Vayehi omein et hadassah, we are informed. Mordechai was omein, raising, hadassah, his cousin, Esther, who had lost her parents. Omein, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, raising is connected to the word emunah, faith, because, Rabbi Soloveitchik argued, to educate is to engage in an act of faith par excellence. He put it this way, to believe and to bring up are identical accomplishments. The believer must be able to engage in a great educational task, to pick up the debris of a shattered world and reconstitute harmonious creation, to seize human talent and capability in an ongoing array of deeds, suffusing these powers with meaning and integrating them into a redeemed personality. Rabbi Soloveitchik added that one who educates, quote, must have faith in God and at the same time faith in man. A wonderful story which I told in a speech addressing supporters of the Maimonides School in Boston, which Rabbi Soloveitchik founded with his wife, was one involving an educational experience in that very same school. As I recall the story, which I either read or was told, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to visit the Maimonides School at the end of the week, and one day he found a child weeping outside the classroom. Apparently, the child did not know the Chumash lesson and was about to be tested. Rabbi Soloveitchik offered the young child the opportunity to study the Chumash, the Torah, with him. He would help him prepare. The child did not know to whom he was speaking, and so he looked at this older gentleman offering to learn the Torah with him, and he said, "Do you know it?" He did indeed. Thus, our mind's eye is given a scene of one of the greatest Torah intellects of Jewish history, studying, learning with a small child. And the symbolism is sublime. For the very source of the mitzvah that Rabbi Soloveitchik fulfilled, the obligation to learn, is derived from the obligation to teach, so that a nation of royal priests never loses its primary form of defense and one of its most exquisite expressions of faith. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.